You're listening to KRFC Fort Collins at 6 o'clock. Stay tuned for Community at Work. Good evening and welcome to Community at Work, a weekly program here on KRFC that provides a closer look at the public agencies that serve you. This half-hour show offers insights into the issues affecting our community and highlights some of the programs and services provided by local agencies and organizations. And the Health District is one of three rotating hosts for Community at Work. The Health District is a public agency that provides residents of Northern Larimer County with dental, mental health, preventive health, and advanced care planning services, in addition to connecting people to more affordable health insurance and prescription options. And we host Community Work on the first Thursday of every month. I'm Richard Cox, the Communications Director for the Health District, and tonight our guest is Charles Kane. He is a blood donor recruiter for the Garth England Blood Center. Welcome, Charles.
Hi.
I want to make sure I get you on the right mic there.
Excellent.
It's a very big need in our community, and every community is donated blood, and that's kind of why we've got you here tonight to tell us what people can do to help alleviate any shortages and make sure that this critical life-saving element is there when people need it. You are with the Garth England Blood Center. Tell us a little bit about that, where it's located, and give us the basic facts about
sure.
that.
Sure. Yeah, great. So Garth England Blood Center is part of UC Health. We are an extension out of the Poudre Valley Hospital here in Fort Collins. We collect blood donations for Poudre Valley Hospital, Medical Center of the Rockies, Estes Park Medical Center, as well as sometimes Cheyenne and a couple of the other hospitals. We do have a network for distributing blood in case they're in need and we have extra. So Garth England Blood Center has actually been around for almost 30 years now. It started back in the early 80s. It was in result or in reaction to there was an accident. So the story I've been told is there was an accident up on Horsetooth. Someone was paragliding and they ended up at the hospital. And they died because they couldn't get the right kind of blood in time from Denver, because at the time that's the only place you could get it. And so it was too far away and he died. And the pathologist, the leading pathologist at the hospital at the time, just said, we can't do this anymore. The bigger we get, and if you want us to be a regional hospital for and service all these folks, we have to have our own blood supply. And so that's kind of how the donation center began. And so ever since then, we tried to supply in the local community with all of their blood needs.
That's great. So how much blood do you collect on a annual basis or a monthly basis?
It's a lot.
Yeah.
I can tell you that much is it varies. We actually have kind of seasonal changes that occur in our donations from month to month. But interesting enough, we're actually considered kind of boutique. We're one of the few left that are hospital-based blood donation centers. Most of them have been acquired and are run by more national organizations. And so it really is it's well into the thousands, but it's not as big as some of the more national firms and how they collect things.
Mm. And that's probably really good. It allows you to meet the needs of your host hospital and better, I would imagine, better meet the needs of the community.
It really does. So even today, if we have to get blood from an outside source, it's still at a minimum 3 hours away.
Mm.
And actually is more likely 4 or 5, because we have to submit requests to a outside vendor who has blood products, make sure that they have the kind that we want, verify it's the type that we need, put it in, you know, basically set it up for shipping, find a courier to get it to us and get it up here. So it is still quite a distance away. So us having an active supply on hand is critical, especially in case of emergencies, traumas, illnesses that suddenly take a bad turn. They need to have that blood now. And so that's why we're very aggressive about making sure that we maintain a steady supply that's here, current, and local. It makes things a lot easier, too, for the national services as well, because if we can control our own in case of national emergencies, like some of the tragedies that have happened in the past, like the shooting at the Pulse or in Las Vegas, where they need a rapid supply of blood, we're not taking away from their supplies to be able to provide to those folks because we're contained on our own.
Hmm. And you mentioned this story at the outset of the show, that of how the blood center came to be, because there was this rare or low availability of
sure.
blood that you had to get from Denver. Are there certain types of blood that are certain blood types that are more in demand or harder to come by? Or
that's really interesting that you would ask that, because there's a lot of fallacies around the blood types as far as it goes. We need all blood types and we need them all the time. There's some distinct differences in the blood products that we're asking for. Mm-hmm. Somebody comes up to me and goes, oh, I have the most common blood. I have O positive. So, everybody
you
has
don't need
that.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Right? And it's like, actually, the reverse is true, because so many people have your type of blood, I need even more of that type of blood to fill that need, right? Because it's just a statistical breakdown of, well, if 36% of the population has this blood type, then that means 36% of what I am collecting needs to be that type of blood. So no, it's not common. It's hyper, hyper important that you
right.
donate. So some of the blood types, for the B positive and the B negatives, they're a lower percentage of the population, so I don't need as much in my circle. But what we encourage those B donors to do instead is to consider platelet donations. So there's three different types of blood donations that you can give. So they're broken out into red blood cells, plasma, and platelets. And if you used to see, like a lot of the old signs would say, donate and save three lives. And that meant because in one donation, they would split out the red blood cells from uh-huh. the plasma, from the platelets. But the platelet separation was really kind of kind of cumbersome, and you didn't really actually collect very much in the form of platelets in a viable form. So we've gone to the process of that we collect red blood cells and plasma at the same time. Basically, we collect a 1 pint donation and then separate it for you into the red blood cells and the plasma. But platelet donations are handled separately we can collect a full amount that is able to use in one single unit rather than trying to collect it from multiple sources and get it to mix and all that type of stuff. We get it from a single source. And so we really encourage those Bs, because we don't have as much of a need for that particular type, then we encourage them to consider platelet donations instead, because those are the parts of their blood that we can use for everybody. It doesn't matter. So
right. As opposed to somebody who's come in from an accident and has had a lot of blood loss, and they need a transfusion of whole blood, right?
Well, actually, so it varies. The techniques and everything have changed dramatically over the course of the years, because it used to be, they was just like, oh, they're bleeding, give them blood. But it's like now there's a lot of considerations. Is like, is it a volume issue? Because then we can just give them plasma.
Oh.
Is it a red blood cell loss, or do we just give them straight platelets? Platelets are the part of your blood that clot. So like when you cut yourself and you get all the crusties on the top, that's a side effect of the platelets.
Right.
So they may give you just actually a straight platelet infusion to help you stop bleeding. So so it's really now kind of on a call basis of what the particular injury is or the illness is.
Our community is growing.
Yes, very much.
Poudre Valley Hospital is growing. Mm-hmm. Medical Center of the Rockies is thriving. Is our donated blood supply keeping up with that?
It really is an interesting challenge in the fact is that, and I think that you pointed out really well in the change in the population. As folks come, the the awareness of our center kind of dilutes, right? Because these folks are just new to the town. They may not have heard of us. And so we kind of fall apart. And the way information now is transferred is very fractured. And especially like with social media, it depends on what platform you're on and who are your friends and who are you following. And that type of information where in the past, we could just go to the newspaper and say, hey, I need O'Neg. And they would put an article in the paper the next morning and said, I need O'Neg. And then there would be a big line of people that would show up and go, oh, here it is. But it doesn't necessarily work that way anymore.
Yes, I know that very well.
Right, exactly. And so while we're looking at that, it's like, well, how do we get that news out and how do we keep it above board? And it's like, I think that we are incredibly lucky in Northern Colorado at the level of generosity. And so we have been able to maintain, but we're looking at these, it's a challenge. There's no easy coasting months where we go, oh, we totally got this month covered. We're done. And, you know, so we're constantly looking for that new donor site, encouraging new donors to come in because we are constantly facing a level of attrition, right? As folks attrition out, either they move away, there's a medical condition that no longer allows, regular and longtime donors to donate. And actually, it's interesting enough is retirement causes a certain amount of lost us because once you retire and then you travel is one of the biggest reasons for restrictions or deferrals.
Oh, right.
And so if you go somewhere that has a risk of malaria or yellow fever or some other types of conditions, it prohibits you from donating. And sometimes up to 3 years, it'll keep you from donating. And so what we are constantly looking for those new folks coming in to be able to replace some of those folks that we know are going to attrition out. And so we are constantly trying to new things like, you know, coming and visiting with you tonight is a great way to get our voice heard and get information passed out along. You'll see us at tons of events like the Peach Festival or the Corn Roast Festival, anywhere where we can have a visual presence. What we find a lot tied to that population is that we have lots of people come up to the tent and go, there you are. I didn't know where to donate. And so I'm so glad that I found you because before I moved here, I was a regular donor, but I didn't have any clue. And again, it ties back into that whole fractured of information. It's no longer really easy for folks to just go, oh, well, that's – you could ask anybody on the street and go, hey, where do you donate blood? And they go, oh, well, that one's easy. You go to Garth England Blood Center. It doesn't work like that anymore. And so we're constantly addressing that population element by trying to get out in front of it and be visually aware. They see us out there. They see we have giant red trucks, right, that we try to have out in the community whenever we can because, again, it's just that constant reminder that there's a need out there. Being able to meet that is continually it's like adding sand to a colander, right? It's like you pour it in the top and it comes out slow, but it's still coming out and you continually have to put stuff in the top to be able to be used.
Yeah, I know that challenge. If you're just tuning in, this is the Community at Work program on KRFC Fort Collins. And if you or a loved one are ever in a medical emergency or any type of health emergency and you need donated blood, there is a organization here in town that's dedicated to making sure that blood is available for you. And you can help make sure that blood is available for others. And so we're talking with Charles Kane with the Garth England. That's England with a U.
U. Right? It's right. It's England with a U, but it's still pronounced England.
Yeah. So. Garth England Blood Center. And you're located whereabouts?
So we are at 1025 Pennock Place, which is just about a block to the north of Poudre Valley Hospital on LeMay. And we're part of the Family Medical Center that's there located what does that make that? That's just to the south of like the out in the new Safeway that's there. So
it's a Safeway now?
Yeah, it used to be an Albertsons.
Yeah,
now
okay.
It's a Safeway. Yeah, you got to keep up with the times, I guess.
Good to know. And how would people contact you? Phone number and do you have some sort of web presence?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. So the main number for the Pennock location is 970-495-8965. And you can also reach, we do have a second center inside the Medical Center of the Rockies. But you can reach it again through that main switchboard at the 495-8965 number. Online through uchealth.org, you can look up blood donations and you'll find pages about the two different locations.
So we've talked a little bit about some of the factors that might impact the need for donated blood. Are there any others? Are there any that are especially unique to our community? I mean, you mentioned that I know we have a lot of retirees in this community.
Sure.
You mentioned that sometimes, you know, retirees go out and they travel and oops, that may preclude them from donating because they've been to a part of the world where there's a disease risk.
Right, right.
Anything else that might make our community unique in that regard? And are there seasonal variations in the need for blood or availability for blood?
Sure, yeah. Actually, so there really are waves. If you look at our data as we track and we pretty aggressively look at and predict what's coming up and what we know will happen. And unfortunately, starting Memorial Day and going through Labor Day is kind of the trauma season. Statistically, the need for blood increases during that time period. And it's just simply because people travel more, and it's also called the here, hold my beer effect, right? People are out. They're being adventurous. They might be a little risky. And so we know that during that time period, we are going to see an increase simply because people are out and people are active. And interesting enough, though, then that becomes our challenge is during that same time period that we have this increase in need, we see a decline in donations. And that's because everybody's out doing things, and they're like, oh, I'll get to this later, or you know, it's like I got Aunt Sally's coming to visit and I can't donate this week and I'll do it next week. And so we see this decline, and so it becomes a challenge for us to raise awareness, be even more aggressive about making sure that we have enough mobiles units out and collecting to make sure that we cover that gap. And then the same thing happens in the entire month of December. Interesting enough is that it's the season of giving, and it is truly the ultimate gift. We see a decline in those gifts because Aunt Sally came back for Christmas and we've got all these other things happening and pageants and you know, shopping that has to be done. And so it kind of gets pushed to the sideline, and we see this very large deficit occur because at that same time, then that last week of the week of Thanksgiving, and then there's a couple week gap, and then that week of Christmas, there's a massive amount of risk, and we know that we're going to see traumas during that time period. So we do have those seasonal challenges that go with it.
You could locate at the mall,
right,
and offer free gift wrapping while the people are donating.
That would be great. Actually, that's a really great idea. It's
I don't want to take business away from the Girl Scouts because I know they do that there too.
Exactly. Or at my son's school, they do that as well. But that's a really interesting idea. One of the things that we found is that we encourage folks to do is consider multitasking, because there's a lot of times where we go and we host at bigger events. For example, on Saturdays and Sundays, we would go to farmers market, but we weren't necessarily super successful at it because folks were like, well, no, I'm here buying veggies. I'm not here to give blood, right? And they weren't able to,
right,
cross that bridge and go, well, I could do both.
Yeah, yeah.
There's the positiveness of and. I'm going to get veggies and I'm going to donate. Yeah. So, so we have those deficits, those natural declines. And so we work very diligently. Last year we had this great a couple of folks that were a part of a program called Harmony Gift of Life, and it's just a couple of ladies that every year choose a nonprofit to help and support. And one year they purchased bicycles for the Boys and Girls Club, and one year they purchased coats. And so they decided, hey, we're going to do a blood drive. And it was like, yeah, that's kind of a tough one to pull off in the holidays. I don't know that you can do it. And we have to get a commitment of a certain amount of people to be able to have the buses out there in December. And they did it. They were amazing. They pulled in almost 60 donations in a single day, and that's a lot for us to be able to hold. It was incredibly impressive, the level of generosity involved in it and their time and effort, because that's not an easy thing to do. It's one thing for me to pull up to a job site and go, hey, everybody that works here, you can come out and give blood, right, because I got a contained audience. They had to go out and build an audience and say, no, we want you to come here on this day for the specific point of giving us blood. And that's impressive. And so, yeah, so we're constantly working during those gap times to create and host events that will help us maintain that supply.
I had somebody on this program a number of years ago who talked about something that was kind of interesting to me, and that was the fact that as we see sort of generational changes, that's had an impact on blood donations. I don't know if it was boomers or the greatest generation, you know, people
sure.
in their much older now,
sure.
who that was just part of what they did.
They were,
there was sort of that awareness that this is part of community service, and you did that. And as that generation has died off, it's kind of changed your blood. I don't know if that's still true you guys are doing a great job of letting a younger, a whole new generation of know about this.
You know, and I actually think that especially the generation that's coming of age now is that they're impressive.
Yeah.
And they are active and they seek us out. And they tie in, and it's like, what can we do to help? Where can we be? Actually, a young man, we just hosted a drive at a high school that had never hosted one before, and he did it as his senior project and said, no, I want to make this part of, of my capstone of my, presence here at the school. I want to host a blood drive. And so I see a lot of that. I think that it ties back into, though, it's an awareness factor of the need that's really hard to get to them, again, because of that fractured voice of getting it out into social media in a form that they see and can connect with, right? Because there's generally, it's like, taking and translating that and explaining that need, because once you explain it, they're like, oh, we're all over this. We did an awesome drive down at Mountain View High School that very much had that, is that they used to do blood drives, and then we had done one and it was hardly, and we didn't get very much at all. But I explained it to one young woman who she grabbed it and ran with it. And the next time we were back out there, we had well over 50 donors. We had kids lined up around the corner going, we're here. Let's do this. I got my mom's permission, 17 years old, or a lot of them were seniors that were graduating and had cleared the 18-year-old. It's like, no, we're here to do this. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we see a lot of action in that. And we see a lot of folks that are transitioning that 45 and 50, and they're starting to recognize that they want to give back. And we have there's this great element of recognizing that a lot of folks, it's like, I don't have a lot of time and I don't have a lot of money, but I still want to help and support the community. Well, we're an awesome solution for that, right? Because it doesn't take very long, about 45 minutes, and it doesn't cost you anything. And in fact, I'm going to give you cookies, juice, and a T-shirt. And you give a gift that has a huge impact somewhere downstream from you. So, and then tying together with that, if I can go off on a tangent, as you were asking about other conditions that exist that are unique to our location. The college is an awesome source, and they have a lot of active young folks there that want to donate. And one of the statistics that I saw the other day, the most interesting is that they estimate that between the ages of 18 and 27, 40% of the population has a tattoo. And that really used to be a big, that's a deal breaker for blood donations. And so that has actually changed. And so as long as the tattoos or the piercings were done at a licensed location, so you couldn't have a friend do it for you, and you didn't do it because you were bored one weekend, is like you went to some place that was licensed and is under, a government oversight as far as verifying that they use single source needles and they only use a one-time use inks and things like that. As long as that you got it from a certified location, you can actually donate. There is no one-year restriction on it. And so that's one of the big ones that we try to get out there to that base community, because they're like, oh, I just got my, I got another ear piercing or I just got this tattoo a couple months ago and I can't do it. And it's like, no, actually, if it was in the state of Colorado and you had it done, you're golden. You can still come in and donate. And that's really kind of changed some of the dynamics of some of the folks earlier in the process.
Mm. You mentioned that it takes about 45 minutes to do a blood donation. Mm-hmm. What else can people expect? Can I quickly walk us through that process? So,
sure. Yep. Like with all things worth the time, they're done with paperwork first, because what would the world be without paperwork? So you come in, you get introduced at the counter. One of our awesome secretaries is going to give you a double-sided sheet of paper that has 44 questions that are kind of like the validation questions. These are the questions that we need to ask, is if, depending on your answer, would prohibit you from donating blood. That process takes about 5 minutes or so. There's a list of medications that might prohibit you from doing it. There's locations that you've traveled that might prohibit you. So you read through that material. You give it back to the secretaries. They bring you in for a consult. They go through your paperwork with you. And then once they've validated and made sure that everything's good on the paperwork and that you're cleared that way to be able to donate, then they do a quick mini physical. So they're going to check your pulse. They're going to check your blood pressure. And then they're going to actually do that little that finger poke where they're going to take just a tiny bit of blood and test and make sure that you have enough red blood cells to share. care, right? Is that when we're withdrawing them, we're not going to cause you undue harm. And so altogether, that process takes about 8 to 12 minutes or so to go through that. And then we're going to take you out to the floor and introduce you to your phlebotomist. And you're going to have a seat in a, you know, kind of one of those lounge chairs, essentially. And they're going to go through and walk you through and tell you about the steps that they're going to do. And they're going to double verify that you are the person that you say you are and you haven't changed from the time from the secretary's office to the chair, you know, and those type of deals. And then they'll go through the process. And the actual blood donation actually is very quick. It's only about 5 to 7 minutes. And during that time period, you know, lots of folks read their phone or, you know, chat with a phlebotomist or, you know, and look away generally. Most folks don't watch it being drained. It gives them that uncomfortable feeling.
Hopefully they're on Facebook saying, I'm donating blood. You should do it too.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, and checking in. Yeah. And saying, hey, we're here, you know, come and do this. Right. And then, and then after that, then there's a recovery period. We try not to let you jump for, you know, five, seven minutes because we don't want you to, you know, because your body most of the time is going to go, hey, something's different, but we don't want it to go into red alert, go, something's really different. So we want to make sure that you stay, you know, with us for a few minutes. And then we load you down with cookies and juice and we have all kinds of other snacks. You actually burn about 650 calories during that 5 to 7 minutes. So your body's gone into high overload and it's kind of ramped up its conditions. Yeah. So right. It's the same equivalent as if you got on a bike and just started riding south as fast as you could for an hour. That's 650 calories. So yeah. So you burn quite a bit, but then we kind of front load you with some cookies back. So it's kind of a balance out, but, we do t-shirts. We try to do a different t-shirt every month to kind of keep it unique and interesting. This month's is, it's got three purple, rabbit, peeps on it, and the saying is all my peeps are doing it, donate blood. So, you know, we try to keep them witty and fun. So something that you'll wear in public. I actually saw one at Safeway the other day. I went, oh, excellent. That always makes my day when I see them. So, one of the things I definitely wanted to mention too is especially for donation. And as I was saying, that transition of folks wanting to give and have gotten to that point in their life where they recognize they want to do more, for men over the age of 40, there's a huge medical benefit to actually donating blood at least twice a year because it actually lowers your iron content in your blood, which starts to accumulate over after that time. And, it actually lowers your risk of heart disease. So you're doing it for yourself as well as you're keeping yourself healthy, at the same time as that you're improving someone else's life.
I did not know that. Well, I'm all over this now.
There you go. Excellent.
And how often can you donate?
Once every 56 days for whole blood, but 28 days if you're donating platelets. Now, the platelet process is very different from the one I just described of about 45 minutes. A platelet takes about an hour and a half. Basically because you're connected to a machine that takes micro bits of your blood out and then pulls the platelets out and then returns the plasma and red blood cells to you. So it takes a little bit longer to go through that process.
Okay. Tell folks again how they can get in touch. We're talking with Charles Kane, and he's a donor recruiter, blood donor recruiter, and a very fine one at that, I can tell, from the Garth Englund Blood Center. Tell us how folks can get in touch with that and make a donation.
Sure, definitely. The best and the easiest way is just to contact that main number, which is 495-8965. They can tell you about openings that we have in our schedule to allow donations. They can also tell you where the mobile is going to be. We have that mobile out 4 days a week. This week we were at Front Range Community College and at Ames Community College. Next week, we are going to be at the Ames Community College in Windsor. We have a lot of different locations that we're at. So just call. Even if you can't get to our location, we may be near you. So it's definitely worth time and reaching out for that.
All right. Charles Kane, thanks for coming on the program tonight.
Thank you so very much for having me. That was it? That was so fast. It felt like I just flew by.
That's what I always tell folks.
Excellent.
Yeah. And that's really about all the time we have tonight. Please tune in next week when Denny LaRue will host Community Work and discuss issues affecting Larimer County. And the Health District will be back here in a couple weeks. Coming up next on KRFC is Critter Patter. Thanks for listening. We'll meet you back here in a couple weeks. Stay healthy. Just a minute.
Yeah, no worries.